Hey, family, friends, loved ones, and new friends, welcome to the LLC. Make yourselves comfortable, relax your mind, leave that baggage at the door. Listen, those closest to me call me AR, and some call me Rush. Either one you choose is perfectly fine by me. Let me give you the who, the what, and the why behind the LLC. The who, the what, and the why is pretty simple. We talk spirituality, we talk business, we talk mental health. Most of all, let's talk about what happens every day in what I call hashtag in my zip code. In many zip codes, LLC represents a limited liability company, but where I come from, it most often represents laundromat, liquor store, church. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will be one of transparency, healing, and transformation. It is my desire to bring industry professionals and much more to your zip code so that you too can embark on a journey that revolutionizes the way that you think, feel, act, which will bring about new results in your life. So let's journey together. Life is better when it's shared. I hope you agree. Let's build some interdependency through trust and integrity. Pick your place, y'all. We can connect at the laundromat, the liquor store, or the church. So let's get it. Hey, family. Some folks asked me when I shared the trailer with them, you know, can't wait to hear what are you going to say, what's next, what's coming up. I have no idea, was my answer, to be quite honest. And one of my good friends let me know wherever God leads you, you know, that's where you should go. That's the path you should take. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes and just kind of share who I am a little bit. When I say a few minutes, it might be two, it might be 20. I don't know, but we'll see. So I wanted to do this podcast, this show for people who are like-minded. Or know someone who's like-minded. And when I say like-minded, someone that spent 36-ish years or so, I'm 43 now, spent some time rather, or lives this way, and you are battling insecurities. You're battling fear. You are battling shame. I want to record this for you. And, you know, so me, right? Age of six, I am in preschool, kindergarten, and a friend of mine, that their mother had them in acting and decided to share that with my mother, which was a blessing. And the two of them, you know, his mother and my mother got me involved in acting as well. And I booked my first gig, man, at six years old. And so years ago, 1984, shot my first commercial. I was a national spot, and I didn't know any of what that meant at the time. I just knew that I was working at the age of six. A lot of people calling on me. I'll be honest, it felt like pressure. I couldn't probably explain that at the time, but that's what it felt like. I was rewarded. I got to go to the toy store and spend some of the check that I earned. So that was pretty cool. But I ultimately decided, man, that after years of that, I shot my last commercial. I believe it was sophomore year of high school. And I just decided that I didn't want to do it anymore. I'll tell you why. Again, I want to be transparent. I want to help people. It was fear. It was comfort zones. It was this word that I now know exists. I wish I knew it then. The word, you guys, is called chromatophobia. Chromatophobia, look it up. It's the fear of money, but we can kind of throw in there the fear of success. Now, there may be another technical term for that. I don't know, but to me, it's all the same. And I want to challenge people to not fall prey to the fear of success, to not fall prey to the fear of having money. But going back into my story, right, it was just something that when I look back, perhaps I should have gone on. Now, you might say, well, the journey that you're on is the journey that you're on. You know, the life you live is the life you live. But I want to encourage people, man, to keep going. I want to encourage people to see it through. I want to encourage people to see the best of what your God has for you and for your life and for your loved ones, right? So when I was, you know, between 6 years old and in high school, I did gymnastics. I stopped that, you know, because of fear. That's the truth, right? I did dancing, was pretty good at that as well, and stopped that. You know, the limelight came back, right? The camera. It wasn't like I was, you know, I don't know, on some huge, huge competitive level. We competed locally for sure, and we did pretty good, me and my crew. I love all those people, right? To this day, I love them. But I stopped, right? And I can't speak for them. I'm just speaking for me. I stopped because of fear and so forth. And I don't want anyone of any age, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, to live your life in fear. Another thing I don't want you to do is live your life in comparison to others. That's a huge thing that was very, very prevalent for me in my life. And I battle it to this day, you guys. I you know, again, sharing my story of who I am. I would not wish that on my worst enemy, you know, walking into a room, thinking about walking into a room, getting dressed on your way to an event or anywhere. And your mind and your spirit is consumed with who's going to be there. Are they taller than you, you know, skinnier than you, more in shape than you, more handsome or whatever, right? And this conversation, this whole show is for men and women of all likes, right? But I just wish for you, I pray for you, a better standard of living that you would uphold yourself to. I wish more freedom for you. I pray more freedom for you. So that way you're not constantly comparing yourself or living a life that is the dream of someone else, right? I think of the first high school that I went to two. First high school, I went to Sarah High School in Gardena, California. And I'll be honest, right? I was so infatuated, and I love my big brother to death. And I just wanted to be like him. You know, that's the school that he went to. And because he went there and I wanted to be like him, that's the school that I went to. And I get there and it's a dadgum culture shock for me, to be honest. You know, people would probably be shocked to hear that. Now, they probably didn't know because I didn't tell anybody at the time why I felt comfortable elsewhere. But it was a culture shock for me, to be honest, right? Even though I grew up in said culture, I didn't always grow up in said culture. So it was different for me. It was hard for me. Didn't really share that with anybody, like I said, but I'm sharing it now, right? I can think of certain friends that I call brother, you know, certain people that were phenomenal in sports, man. I think of this dude, we call him D-Lace, and you know, his nickname in high school was Mr. Football. He was named that by a newspaper. And I don't know if that dude ever realized or hopefully he hears this, right? But the admiration that I always had for him and his skill level and just comparing and going, I could never be like that. I knew the game of football a little bit, but I could never be on that level, right? I could never be as popular as my big brother, Charlie. I was always comparing myself to someone else. And again, I'm sharing this because I want to be transparent and hopefully help someone, right? I think of my brother, Dave, right? My best man. The dude came out of the womb playing drums. And I mean, he's just uber talented at it. And I would think to myself, even though I didn't play the drums, except for this short period of time when my mom tried to force me to play, I remember thinking I can never be like Dave playing these daggum drums. And it was like, whoever asked you to be like Dave? No one, right? My buddy Eric, rest in peace, my brother, right? Him and his charisma. Same thing with my boy Ty, right? I could never be as charismatic as these dudes that meant so much to me. My boy Mike LaFleur, like I could never be as funny, right? My buddy Vert, I could never be as tough as Vert. I constantly compared myself to people, and I had to start giving that up, right? I say start giving it up because the start to giving that up just began a couple of years ago, realizing what was harming me. I'm not even gonna say holding me back, but what was harming me. So, I share that for all those cats, man. Love, reverence, respect still to this day for everyone that I mentioned. If I didn't mention your name, it's just timing of the episode and the show, man. But there's a lot of people that I have a lot of love for, and a lot of love for Cabron, RV, a lot of people that still mean the world to me, Ronnie, regardless of whatever we've been through in these childhood, teenage, and adult years. Much respect to all of you guys, right? So, again, this episode, man, was just a little bit of insight to help you understand where I came from spiritually and emotionally, right? So, if we fast forward, I ended up going to UCLA, and UCLA, I wonder, I love the school, right? Always was a fan. I had two god brothers that were there, and yet again, man, wanted to be like them. Star football players in high school and in college. I couldn't be them. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because God didn't make me like them, but I didn't figure that out. I didn't know that. And so I'm really, really hoping to convey that at some point you got to put that baggage down. At some point you have to drop that weight because it's harming you. You're never going to fly holding on to the weight of fear, doubt, comparison, shadows, shadow beliefs. You have to put that down, right? The shaming that you put yourself through, you have to stop that, right? Your journey is your journey. You got to be you. The life that someone else is living is already taken, so you got to live yours. And I encourage you to live it up because tomorrow is not promised, yet today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. All right. So at UCLA, I went there and I struggled there, to be honest, because I knew deep down the root of me going there was to make other people happy. I learned what I needed to learn. I got what I needed to get from that school. I met the people that I needed to meet. And ultimately, I did not finish, right? Left there with this very short period of time to go in order to actually get the diploma. And I had decided, with the help actually of a counselor there, that I had already fallen into and seen what I wanted to do. So it wasn't going to be a great investment of my time and energy to stay there. And so I began a career just as an intern in the music industry and worked myself into a position where I was becoming a marketing representative. And so I became a full-time representative. And again, I left the school. But even there, man, I did not allow myself to fully live. I said to someone recently in like the last, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, with all that I did, with all that the people that I touched, with the parties and the shows and the concerts, there's literally a handful of pictures of me in that particular industry. And I can tell you this, that I was hiding from the camera yet again. So the way that I've lived life in claiming and telling people that I work better behind the camera was justification. It was BS. Claiming that I was supposed to be kind of like a director versus, in front of the camera and the star, that was just me hiding from who God created me to be. I know I'm not the only person. And so, again, I record this in an effort to help and encourage you. But If you look for me in the music industry, you probably would have a very difficult time finding me because there's no pictures. I hid from just about all the pictures. The few pictures that I have look terrible because they caught me off guard. And you know, it's those pictures where your mouth is wide open, your body's in an awkward position. I was running from the camera, but this camera that I speak of, I mean, I'm actually referring to life. I was running from the beauty of life, if you will, and can't do that anymore. I cannot afford to do it. You cannot afford to do it. Your next generation cannot afford to do it. And so I hope that you would get out of your cocoon. I hope that you would start to spread your wings. I hope that you would start to fly. I hope that you would start to share your gift because you have one. I hope that you start to share your gift with the rest of us. It's a crazy time. We're in this pandemic. But there's podcasts, there's Zoom, there's whatever, right? I'm not advertising for anyone, but I'm just saying they're vehicles, right? They're social media apps that we can see you and we can plug in and we can tie in. And I'll share with you, kind of moving forward a little bit more in my story. After music, I looked into a business and became kind of full time in this business, became an entrepreneur, which is something that I always desired to do, but I didn't know how, right? I didn't know where to get started or any of these things. And so in building a business, learning to build a business, making mistakes, you have to be able to put yourself on Front Street a little bit. You have to be able to start to receive rejection. You have to be able to understand that they're not rejecting you. What's happening is that they have just as much doubt in themselves as they do, or more so than they do in what you're trying to show them or what you're trying to get them to understand or see or buy into. And so I'll tell you, man, being an entrepreneur helped me to start spreading my wings. It helped me to grow. It helped me to blossom. It forced me, it made me uncomfortable to grow. There was a lot of times, I was flapping my wings and kind of bumping up against the cliff or whatever you want to call it when I took the leap. But I can't really tell you that business-wise, I just smacked against the ground and it was game over. It was never that. And I challenge you, if you decide to take that leap even part-time, it probably won't be that for you either. Not when you look back, if you decide to carry through to success, you'll look back and say it wasn't that bad. But anyhow, I got laid off from the music industry and I remember getting the phone call and it wasn't anything too shocking. It was something that for me was very expected. It was just the way of the industry, the way it was going. Music and product was being delivered digitally, so you didn't necessarily need like hard products getting into the store and whatnot. This podcast right here is about to be delivered digitally to your ears at some point, right? So I knew that some more things had to change. Like I said, I went into my own business and so forth and started working on that. And it wasn't the easiest task, I can tell you that, right? A lot of people around me can attest to it. They helped me to grow. They watched me grow. I dug down, spiritually, and I ran across some really phenomenal people. One of the people that I ran across spiritually phenomenally that I can tell you I didn't really know was my father. And you might say that sounds strange, right? But I grew up just with my mom or whatever. I did have a good relationship with my father, Charlie Sr. But getting to know him, like I said, was phenomenal for me. I'll give you a few examples. He and my stepmother, who has since passed away, they extended child support while I was in college. That was a big deal. Not just the money, ladies and gents, but the example. The example of him growing, it's not a secret. My dad at one point was addicted to drugs and alcohol and He told a story where once I had kind of gotten a hold of some substance, I didn't take it, thank God, but that was the moment where he decided to turn his life around, right? See, those are moments that I celebrate because I was once told by someone very important in my life that people don't change and it's better to just kind of walk away. And I disagree with that, but to watch, the transformation of my dad and to have different conversations with him was phenomenal for me to watch the transformation of my natural mother, Joyce, right? To watch her transform as well, and go from, not being so happy with my dad, to being in a place where we've all traveled together. And so their growth has been a phenomenal example to me. They both are the kind of people that get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. They don't have to do it now, of course, but 4 a.m. to 9, 10 o'clock at night, that was their work schedule. So I don't come from lazy stock or people. Both of them highly educated, college degrees and all that kind of stuff. Very, very intelligent folks. So again, this transformation in my life was so important because it showed me that it was possible. Their example showed me that you don't have to live the life that society may have set out for you. And so if I can be that example to any generation, the one before me, behind me, or future generations, I choose to do so. And so through this thing called business and entrepreneurship, again, man, comfort zones, you got to blow through them. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not the easiest thing, but once you do, I can promise you that you'll look back and you will see such an incredible story. It'll probably make you emotional, to be honest. So fast forward, continue a little bit more. Here we are. This business is going. We're having some success. I am married for the second time. The first one, I think we prepared much more for the wedding and not for the marriage. I place no fault anywhere. I accept full responsibility for my actions and pray for the best for all parties involved. But the second, go around, I choose to be better. I choose to constantly look inward. And I did this even before the marriage. I was always looking for my responsibility and fault. Once I knew to do that, once I had grown up to a place of looking for that, right? But that's a part of those comfort zones again. That's part of maturing. That's part of the journey that I'm talking about. So we're doing, pretty well, and there's a lot of growth that we have to go on and looking to grow our income and our business even more. But it's been a phenomenal ride thus far. We travel when and how we'd like to. We did a little bit of safe traveling through the pandemic and loved it, right? Challenge was I discovered and I was able to put a tag on something that had been prevalent in my life for so many years. And if you go back to what was it that kind of made you not want to go to an event? Why would you blame it on parking and lines and so forth and all these things? Well, I didn't realize it, but it was anxiety. I didn't realize that until this pandemic. I was having various things going on in life, and it came to figure out that they were all what they call psychosomatic, which is your mind made this up. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. And seeing a doctor, getting these tests run, and they're like, everything checks out normal. And in fact, the numbers that we're seeing here in terms of your weight and blood pressure and blah, 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 they're all better than the last time you were here a couple years ago. So I learned a few things. First and foremost, I didn't have any regular routines, which I needed to start. I needed to implement regular routines of diet, exercise. So I want to thank my little bro, Chris, for helping me in those areas and kind of getting me on track, even though I'm probably his worst example, but I'm working on it. I had to implement routines such as skincare. I didn't have one all these years, and yes, I grew up in entertainment and all that kind of stuff. I had no regular skincare kind of regimen. I was just grabbing whatever soap and running through like the monotony of the morning and going about my way. That's not taking care of yourself, people. I want you to understand this, right? Because I was literally speeding through meals, even though I set my own schedule and I could be where I needed to be or where I wanted to be. I was rushing through a meal, not even really tasting it, not even enjoying it. I was just getting full and in a lot of cases stuffed and overweight, and it made me feel terrible. I had to start looking inward and making changes inward so that I could affect my outer world. I couldn't affect my outer world until I started working on my inner world. I think that's important for us to know and to study, because a lot of times we want things to change, but we don't ever ask ourselves or ask God to help us get better. We just want everything to change. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't, right? So doctors tell me that things are looking better, right? And so I kind of didn't believe it, but he told me, hey, there's some folks you can talk to under your health insurance, and I suggest you do it. Like, it's good in this time. The doctor was kind enough and transparent enough to share that he even had some anxiety just because there was so much going on, and news is coming at you from all different directions, and you don't know what to believe or when to believe it. So, long story short, I began a journey, and I didn't do it right away. I still fought it. Began this journey again of eating a little bit better. I actually lost weight during the pandemic, where I know some people gained it because I started eating differently, right? I started working on the skin. Thanks to Theo Leonard and Theo Dan, they started helping me with, that they're in that industry, right? And so finally I had to face that other internal thing, man, that beast of what was causing me to feel sick when I was not sick. And it really was the anxiety. So I began reaching out to a friend who I know is an LMFT, and I gotta be honest, she was like, yeah, compliance, blah, 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 it should be someone else. And I didn't care about any of that. I could care less. And hopefully you'll hear from this young lady. Her name is Kenji, right? She's like a sister to me. I care less who I was talking to. I just need to talk to somebody. And I got to that point, and I'm glad I got to the point, because I remember my mother telling me when I was a child, she told me, son, it's okay if you need to cry. I'd rather have you or see you crying on the outside so I know that you're not crying on the inside. And she really meant two things. First of all, when she told me that, she had already been an employee of, I don't know if it's LA City, LA County, anyway, she worked at one of the youth jails, the detention centers. So she would have to lock the kids up at night. She didn't want me, quote unquote, crying on the inside, meaning the inside of a jail. Also, she didn't want me crying emotionally and hurting and not being able to share with people. So I thank her for that to this day. I think that's a blessing, right? But coming back to where I was, linking the two, I'd rather have an outlet. I think that outlets are important for people. I think if we all would change, especially in our community, as I say, hashtag in my zip code. In my zip code, we're taught in this community to not say nothing, to not share, to not talk. We're told what happens in this house stays in this house. We're taught to just pray about it. Well, let me tell you, that don't fix everything. That doesn't give you solutions. It doesn't give you techniques. And so Kenji, she sent me on. She talked to me when I needed it, so I'm just messing with her. But I did find a contracted person through my health insurance, and we talked to this day. Actually, I had my regular appointment, yesterday, and have a phenomenal time. I look forward to expressing things, learning things, saying things. I personally look forward to self-awareness, and I hope that you can get to that same point. But the anxiety was beginning to take hold of me in such a way that I knew I would not reach my future or my purpose without taking action. And so part of that action, part of the promise to myself, part of coming out of the shell, part of walking into the light, part of being the man that God created, was beginning the show. And so, as I said when I started, my story might be 2 minutes or it might be 20 minutes. It looks like it's coming up on 30. But I hope you've enjoyed this little intro, 30 minutes into who I am. Again, friends and family, loved ones, they call me AR. They call me Rush. Doesn't matter which one you call me, it's all good. But I encourage you to join me on this journey. That's it, family. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned. I hope that you can take something away from the LLC. I hope that we can change our zip code. I hope that we can do better than a laundromat, liquor store, and church. I hope that we all end up having real LLCs, businesses, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. I wish you nothing but God's best for your life. You can contact the show at idefinemyzipcode@gmail.com. Until then, you guys, let's get it. We'll be right back.